Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Richard Siemer, Deputy Commissioner and Chief Information Officer at the New York City Human Resources Administration. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Stuart Vinsky. Rich, in the last segment, you did a wonderful job of really explaining the technical framework that does what human service programs seek to do, and that is help low-income individuals and families become self-sufficient. I'd like to talk to you about how technology itself can enhance service delivery to improve client outcomes while improving responsiveness to those in need.
So that's actually an interesting question. Back with welfare reform in the mid-90s, I guess, really the shift there was to make people more responsible for their own outcomes and to make people more self-sufficient. What we've been able to do, actually the way technology has kind of aided some of that, is by making access to programs and to functions that people have to execute in order to remain in those programs more prolific and more available to people. The onus is now on people to take their own personal responsibility to interact with the agency in the way they need to at the times they need to. And so what does that mean? That means that with our interactive voice response system, people who have to report their attendance for childcare can do so over the phone anytime they need to do it, but it's on them to do it. People who want to explore what services are available and maybe begin an application process can do so through things like the city's portal, Access NYC. People who are looking for health insurance have a way to do that in an interactive way through the health insurance link that the agency has put up. So I think that that's kind of neat, that we've been able to support this idea of self-sufficiency through the use of technology, but with the solutions that we provide, it's also made our operations more efficient. The more work that a person can do or a community-based organization can do prior to the submission of an application, the better quality application we get, and the easier it is, quote-unquote, easier for us to process those applications. So technology has been a big enabler of that.
In the economic environment that we are in right now, do you see technology assisting state and local agencies and providing them with an opportunity to rethink how they actually deliver services and benefits?
Absolutely, Michael. IT has, and the technology that is available to us now, has given us a great opportunity to, like I said, meet people on their level. Before, what would happen was people would have to say, I need this service. And they'd come in as an individual, and the workers knew at the time that, well, they came in my door, they're here for welfare. They're here for cash assistance. But now we can ask more because of technology. We can make people aware of, before they even come in the door, of all the services that are available to them and how they might apply for any of those services. And we can share information among organizations so that we're more aware and have a better, a more holistic view of what a person's needs are and where they are with any one of the human services programs. You know, we partner with the state in a lot of the same ways because when we share technology and we share solutions, then we're in better alignment to realize the benefits from sharing data and sharing information about how we get things done.
And that really goes into what I want to talk about next, which is NYC Connect. What is that initiative? And more importantly, what are some of the barriers you see to information exchange among New York City HHS agencies?
HHS Connect, or Health and Human Services Connect in New York City, was an idea that started a long time ago. You know, the idea of sharing data among agencies that had siloed systems and stuff like that was not innovative in and of itself. But being able to execute that and being able to put the governance around that so that you could start to realize this vision of sharing data is really what HHS Connect is all about. And, you know, kudos have to go to Deputy Mayor Gibbs and really Kamal Barwani, who was the first CIO of HHS Connect, because he put the governance in place, I think, that enabled a lot of this effort to share data. Now, the biggest obstacles to sharing data, really, and one of the things Kamal was smart about in terms of his governance was he included a legal group, a legal committee, because the sharing of data has to be vetted in any number of different ways. The city is local. We're responsible to the state and the social service laws of the state, but some of our information is federally obtained. So we have to make sure that anything that we share in accordance with all of those laws, and even across agencies. The police department has approached us, and in their real-time crime center, they see the value of having information. Now, we have some individual ways that the police department get information, but they want it real-time, and they want it right there for the officer on site to be able to deal with and have as much information as possible to make decision. A lot of that information we can't share like that. The great thing about HHS Connect was that the mayor issued an executive order, which was another smart thing that Kamal did and the deputy mayor did in terms of making sure that you had the executive sponsorship there. He issued an executive order that told people, listen, I get that I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but I get that there's barriers to sharing data. Do whatever you can to make sure that within legal constraints that you do as much of that sharing as is possible. And that has helped in a lot of ways. Right now, where we are with HHS Connect is HRA was the first supplier of information to the first phase of HHS Connect. So that was the worker portal. So all of HRA and a lot of HRA's data related to cash assistance, food stamps, Medicaid was shared with appropriately shared with a lot of the other human services agencies, and it made it available to them through the Worker Connect portal. That's been expanded now in phase two. So not only is HRA sharing information, but we're also sharing images through our image repository, and we're getting data from other agencies. That goes a long way in terms of, like I said before, giving an end user, a caseworker who's dealing with the client at a point in time, a lot of information to be able to say, what is the best service or what is the best service plan that can be provided to somebody at any given time.
So HRA is responsible for the administration of public health insurance in New York City. Would you tell us more about your IT efforts to increase access to both public and lower-cost private health insurance? And specifically, what can you tell us about the New York City Health Insurance Link and how it assists HRA in this area?
So New York City HiLink, or Health Insurance Link, was an application that really was the brainchild of Commissioner Doerr and Marjorie Cadigan, who's the executive deputy commissioner for what we call the Office of Citywide Health Insurance Administration. The unique thing about that application is that it's really a combination of what we developed as a web application for people to gain access to, but we invoke a service, a private service that has a lot of information and provides the ability to calculate what a person may be eligible for or inform people about what health, private or public health insurance programs may be the best solution for them given what they submit. So it's not only for individuals, it's for small businesses also. So we're very proud of that application. It really is innovative, and I have to give Marjorie a lot of credit and Commissioner Doerr, because we were able to negotiate with this outside vendor for this service, which was for fee service, for each time you used its service, and just get kind of like a blanket coverage. And so now all the citizens of New York are benefiting from that solution. It can act as a doorway to public health insurance, right? We run the Medicaid program. There's over 2.6 million people that we provide that for, and Health Insurance Link can point an individual towards that. We've expanded our outreach with Medicaid by creating an application which we call Edits, which allows for the electronic submission from private providers on behalf of clients for Medicaid benefits. We tell the providers they have their own applications for collecting that information. We just give them the standard for submitting that application for that information and the documents associated with that. And then we, in this way, we allow and we kind of push out the responsibility for collecting all of that data to the people who are engaging these clients either in their neighborhoods or at their point of greatest need if they come into a hospital or something like that. And then they act as a facilitator in the submission of the application. So we get a better quality application and we are able to still deal with the volume and technology has played a big part in that.
In an attempt to improve customer services and waiting time, HRA piloted model centers. Would you tell us more about how those centers work and your office's role in making them possible and the benefits you've realized because of them?
The innovative thing about model office is that it kind of models itself on a bank, I would say. When you come in now, you're greeted by the front desk reception. And people have benefit cards and there's some information on there, such as identifiable information, a case number or something like that. We can swipe that now through a card reader and then bring up if they have an appointment there. If they have an appointment there, then we can notify the caseworker that this person is here now for this. And then we can manage the traffic through the building so that only the people who need to go up and see their workers can go see their workers. But at the same time, we can take people who are just coming in to drop off something and direct them appropriately. So those people no longer have to go see the caseworker just to drop off a document or something. They can go to another area where we can service them more immediately. So the front desk reception, I think, was a very good idea in being able to manage the traffic. But I think that a latent benefit of it also was how we engage the clients. Here we're engaging the clients as they come in and we're really treating them more responsibly, I think. And I think clients respond to that. I think that there's an expectation, especially because a lot of the clients that we deal with now, we've reduced significantly our cash assistance and we've increased Medicaid and food stamps, but those programs are really more supports to lower income people. And so the idea of being able to engage these people in a way and manage their expectations and make them responsible, I think that all fits with the technology. The technology supports that idea.
So model offices represent sort of a transformation of the business model for receiving benefits for accessing HRA services. How did the technology that you brought to bear support model offices, particularly things like FRED and Monique?
So FRED is an acronym for front end or reception, front desk reception. And like I said before, it allows people to come in and allows us to engage that person almost immediately to find out what they're there for and to try and direct them appropriately. Monique, which is really our electronic queuing system for people, it works very much the way it might work in a DMV office, right? You go in, you get a ticket, and you tell the person what you're there for, you get a ticket, and then you're directed appropriately. And then when your ticket is called, you go get serviced. The good thing about Monique is not just how it queues people and directs them, but it's an accountability for us, and it's a management tool for us because we produce a lot of management reports that say, this person was here for this today, and it took them this amount of time to get serviced. That helps tremendously. The managers, the directors of the centers, and the executive directors and the deputy commissioners, because it helps them manage their operation, helps them get information about what's the biggest delay, and then adjust their service delivery appropriately. So the management reporting that comes out of that, I think, is a big deal.
The environment you find yourself in and a lot of the engagements that happen, the encounters with citizens, may be paper intensive. And the use of imaging technology to digitize paper-based processes has been known to save money and improve operations. I'd be interested to know about your enterprise content management efforts. How have you sought to find and realize these benefits by implementing imaging technology and digitizing a paper-laden process?
So Just to try and give you some perspective on this, HRA has a huge imaging document management repository. We have over 50 terabytes of information, and so for the layperson, that translates to over, my notes here tell me, over 1.3 billion pieces of paper, you know, that we have imaged on our repository. The great thing about that, though, is that we are more responsible with regard to our clients. People can come in and we can say, okay, we already have this on file. That reduces the demand on them to reproduce things. If they're reapplying for stuff, we can go to these documents and say, okay, is this still valid? Is this still valid? Instead of having to require them to bring in those documents again and again and again, and for different programs again and again and again. So somebody usually when somebody applies for cash assistance, they're also applying for food stamps and Medicaid at the same time. So that's a one-shot deal with that document. But food stamps in and of itself and without the cash assistance and Medicaid are two separate programs, really. But we've been able to facilitate the sharing of those documents across those programs so a person doesn't have to recreate or resubmit the same documents for the two separate programs. So it's made us more efficient, and it's allowed us to also expand on sharing with other agencies, and that's part of HHS Connect of what we're doing. We've also aligned ourselves with the state. We have the same solution in terms of document management, but with the State Office of Temporary Assistance, which is our oversight, we are embarking on an exercise to share data, our images with them, so that even if a person goes to any of the other counties in New York State, if those documents are available, they can be used there. A lot of times you have people coming in, they have tragic situations. Maybe they're a victim of a fire or something like that. If we have those documents already, it's a tremendous help to be able to facilitate the whole process that they're going through.
So HRA is one of the largest administrators of food stamps, are now called SNAP, right? SNAP program in the country. Would you tell us more about the program and the various initiatives you've pursued to increase access to SNAP and how you've leveraged technology, outreach campaigns, and streamlining of processes in this effort?
Sure. I think that the food stamp program has really matured in the sense that it's really a support for lower income families that need to get the benefits that they should have to get the nutrition that they need. The food stamp program, I remember when I was a kid, I told you I was actually on assistance when I was a kid. I told you I was one of 12 and, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. And I remember, if you'll indulge me a minute, but I remember going to the government food pantry and, loading up on, 5-pound cans of peanut butter and blocks of cheese and, And I actually remember one time, because we didn't have a car, I was traveling on the bus with my father, and there were some of my friends on the front of the bus. And the bus came to a stop, and one of the big cans of peanut butter rolled down the aisle. And my father said, "Richard, go get that." So I had to walk down there. Now, USDA government right on the can. And so my friends knew, and it was an embarrassment. The food stamp program isn't like that anymore. They're much more discreet, given technology, about how people make use of the technology
through an
EBT card. Exactly, Stu. So, you don't know if somebody's swiping their credit card or swiping their EBT card, and nor should you know. But it has expanded, like I said, to service lower income people. And so these are people who are working people. Technology has allowed us to expand the outreach to those people and meet them again on their terms. We have community-based organizations now that will accept applications so they can do that when they know that those people are available or the people need to engage with them. So we've enabled a number of community-based organizations to submit a full application in. We've expanded our hours, that's something Commissioner Doerr did in some of the sites, so that, you know, after hours, people can take advantage of our services after work. We've expanded the use of our interactive voice response system so that on food stamp recoupment, when people have to reapply or renew their eligibility, a lot of that can happen over the telephone now if it's applicable to them. So all of these things in technology allow the food stamp user, end user client, to deal with the things that they have to deal with to maintain their eligibility and get their benefits, but more on their schedule. And I think that technology has been a great enabler of that. And, you know, I don't think that the food stamp program would be as successful if it hadn't been that, because people would have to be taking off from work to meet their caseworker and stuff like that. So it really has been an enabler and a tremendous support in that regard, I think.
What does the future hold for information technology at the New York City Human Resources Administration? We will ask Richard Seymour, Deputy Commissioner and Chief Information Officer at HRA, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.